Would you pray with me, please? Now, Lord, as we go into your word, we pray that your Holy Spirit would come and speak to us here this morning. May we hear your voice loud and clear. Take these cold hearts that we have that have been hardened by our own will and our own way and break them, soften them, and then mold them to be like you. Lord, we live in a broken world, a world that is broken because of sin. But we also live in a world where the believing community makes a difference by the way that we love one another and those we don't even know. This world needs you, Lord. In a big way, we need you. We're falling apart. We've got threats of war and nuclear bombs. We have natural disasters. We have disease. We have hate. We have racism. We have prejudice. We need you. We need you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. In the name of the one who has changed us. Amen. You know, I had a couple of little anecdotes I was going to use this morning to open up with. One where I stuck a butter knife into a light socket to figure out what would happen if I did that when I was about 5. Don't want to use that. I'm going to tell you about a friend of mine that was afraid of flying, and he would grip on the way up and on the way down, and I used to make fun of him and then tell him that, oh, I think I heard something that didn't sound right, and he would get mad at me. I don't want to talk about that. You know what I want to talk about? I want to talk about Jesus. You don't hear churches speaking about Jesus like you used to. Churches have become, and not all of them, but churches have become to the point where we don't want to offend people. Out in the community, we have to be careful what we say. Don't mention the name of Jesus. Somebody will look at you like a Jesus freak, or you can't because of where you are. And it's just, you just don't hear people or churches talking about Jesus as you did 50 years ago or 100 years ago. If you look at God's Word, the gospel is offensive. It's offensive. It basically says, look in the mirror, and what you should see is someone who is full of sin and that needs a Savior. It's offensive. And it cuts to the quick. It makes you see a sin-sick person. You don't hear that much anymore. We don't want to be offensive. We want to draw people into the church, teach them some nice things about 6 steps of faith and temptation and how to overcome it. And those things are important. But if we don't keep the main thing, then we don't have the main thing, and then nothing else matters. So this morning, I want to look at Romans. And we're going to find some very interesting arguments that are going on between Paul and the group that he's talking to. But before we get there, I have to say this. We buried a family member yesterday. And I was able to grow up with this family member who was a friend, a mentor, a hero. But I saw him pre-Jesus, and I saw him post-Jesus. And I have been able to look at this experience where we lost a sister and a sister-in-law that got this individual in our family who wasn't going to church into church. And you could see the change that took place from who he was before Jesus to who he was after Jesus, because Jesus changes everything. Everything. And we don't talk about that anymore. We don't talk about how Jesus changes everything. How he changes the heart, the mind, the soul, the spirit. He changes what you think about, what your interests are, where you go, what you do. Everything changes when he's Lord of your life. And that's what it means to believe, by the way. It's more than acknowledging, which I have no idea. Penny caught me off guard. We'll talk about that when we get home. It's more than just acknowledging that there is a God. It is in a relationship with the Lord and Savior who lives within you, is changing you because of the Holy Spirit that lives within you. And you want to love him, be like him, and you don't want to disappoint him. And when you do disappoint him, it just tears you up. Paul's talking to an interesting group of people. There are Greeks and there's Jews there. And this is what Paul says in Romans 2:17. Now you, if you call yourself a Jew, if you rely on the law and boast in God. In the previous verses, Paul had been talking to the Greeks. And he was telling them about, guess who? 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 Say that loud. That's right. He was talking to them about Jesus. And now he's talking to the Jews, and he's saying that, look, the Jews or the Greeks needed salvation, and the Jews agreed to that. Yeah, they do. They're pretty bad people over there. You know, these Greeks, got to stay away from them. They're kind of dirty, and their minds are bad, and stay away from them. But these Jews need salvation. But when it came, when Paul said, if you are a Jew and if you rely on the law, he's saying you have a problem. You rest your entire salvation on the law. And don't you realize that your forefathers had faith first and then the law was given to them? And you are no different than the Greeks because you've stolen, you've committed adultery, you've committed sacrilege by putting things before God. Maybe you didn't do those acts, but you certainly thought about them. Your mind was corrupt with them. You see, Jesus was dealing with people, and Paul was dealing with people, who felt like if the outside appearance is all right, then you must be all right in the inside. So if I put my coat on here this morning, I must be all right because I'm looking pretty spiffy here this morning. Not as good as Mike does when he dresses up. I tried to up you one today, brother. But, you know, I must be okay on the inside because I'm looking pretty good on the outside. I look pretty healthy. I'm not bad with a coat on. You know, I must be okay on the inside. Look what Jesus says to these that were dressed in their fine linens and their robes of religious input, if you would. He says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like what? Which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of bones and of the dead and everything that's what? So Jesus is talking to these teachers of the law, these Jews that had taken the law that had been given to them after their forefathers had been saved. And instead, they were using it as a guide to live by, and they made it a mechanical way to salvation. A mechanical way to salvation. I'm going to change this a little bit and say that we've got churches today that have got a mechanical way to salvation. From the way that you feel good when you go in, from the size of the crowd to the orchestra that's playing behind, and I have no problem with any of that as long as they are lifting up the name of Jesus and that Jesus is the one that it's all about. That's who we should be worshiping. He is the one that we should love. He is the one who sacrificed himself for our sins, and because of him, we live and have abundant life. That's great. But if not, it's a mechanical religion. and it means nothing. And that's what Jesus is talking to these religious leaders about. He's saying, look, let me explain something to you. Let me tell you about your religion. Your religion used to be a relationship. At one time, the faith of your forefathers, I loved, and I gave them commandments on how to live with each other and with me so they would have guidelines of knowing what I expect. But what you've done is you've taken the relationship out and you've made this a mechanical way of getting to me, which doesn't work. It's like going to a tomb and whitewashing it, making it looking pretty on the outside, but on the inside, it still stinks. And then the Jews said, oh, yes, but listen to this. Listen to this. We got circumcision. Oh, listen to this, church. We got baptism. They may have circumcision, but we got baptism. I'd much rather have baptism than circumcision. And I'll just leave it at that. But the Jews said, but we got this circumcision. That's what makes it final. That's what makes a Jew a Jew. That's where we are. And it's cast in stone. Paul said, but wait a minute. If a circumcised person breaks the law, he's just like an uncircumcised person. If a baptized person breaks or sins, they're just like any other person, baptized or not baptized. Don't make our religion mechanical. It's relationship. Look at verse 28 and 29. A person is not a Jew who is one only what? Nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a person is a Jew who is one what? And circumcision is circumcision of what?
The heart.
It's a change of heart. And what changes the heart? The spirit. Not by some written code. His name is what? And who does the changing? Who puts the spirit in you? It's all about a relationship. Has nothing to do with mechanical religion. I've seen people changed over and over and over again by the Spirit of God after they've come to know the living Christ. That's what church is all about. That is the church, by the way. Those who've been born again, filled with God's Spirit, alive spiritually. Look at Deuteronomy 10:12. This is not the first time that God has spoken these words. And now, Israel, what does the Lord God ask of you? Let me ask you that question. That's a good question this morning. What does God want from you? Don't cheat. Don't read on. I know everybody's looking up there. Bunch of cheaters. See, you've already sinned here this morning. Bunch of cheaters. What does God want from you? This is what he wants. But to what? Your God to what? To him to what? And to what?
Serve.
The Lord your God to what?
All your heart and all your soul.
And to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. Does that sound like a mechanical religion? No. No, it's all about love. It's all about the person. It's all about Jesus. You see, God cares about the heart. God is saying, in a world that is broken, God is saying, choose me. Don't choose the world. The world will corrupt you. The world will taint you. The world will destroy you. Satan will use the world to kill you and devour you. He is saying, choose me. Choose me. I love you. I will give you direction that will be different from the world, that will keep you safe, that will keep you on a highway, that will keep you in proper relationship. Choose me. I will give you life. The world will give you death. Choose me, God is saying. That's what he's saying here. Choose me. Yesterday, I asked a question at the funeral if there was enough evidence to convict our cousin Charles of being a Christian. And we went through the characteristics of a Christian: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, self-control, and faith. And we said, oh yeah, he meets the bill. And we said it would be like a courtroom scene. This morning, my question to you all is this: if you were in a courtroom scene and God was sitting on the judgment seat, would there be enough evidence to convict us of being a Christian? God is saying, choose me. Don't choose the world. Choose me. And when you choose me, you're choosing Jesus. You're choosing Jesus. Let's go to God in prayer. I know I ended early. I went a different path. Sorry. But let's pray. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for Jesus. Oh, Lord, what would we be without Jesus? What would I be without Jesus? I cannot imagine my life without him. I cannot imagine, Lord, where I would be without you. I cannot imagine where my family would be without you. And I deserve none of it. You are so good and so loving. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The altar is open this morning for all who need to come.